Okay, good evening, everyone. Thank you for coming. I'm going to try to discuss each seif separately tonight. So we're going to start with the seif Kaf Gimel. So in seif Kaf Gimel, we have Mutar Lachtoch. Do you have a Mishnah Berurah in front of you? Okay. Some of you. If not, listen to me. מותר לחתוך ענף מן הדגל עם בעוד יום, מותר להניף בו על השולחן בשבת, לאברך הזבובים, כיוון דלצורך התחו עשהו כלי גמור. So, the Shulchan Aruch describes, when you cut a branch for the purpose of kicking away the flies, that by itself makes it like a kli. And in the Bet Yosef, you probably saw it, he brings in the name of the Rashbash. Ketav Vno Shel Rash Bar Tzemach. It's the Rashbash. You see it in the first page, in the first source. Al Makom Shenoagim Shepam Rishna Shemachnis Adam Bno Lebet HaKneset Mevin Ner Shava Biyado Echad Shabbat Veechad Yom Tov. They had a minhag that day when they used to bring their son the first time to the Bet Knesset, the shul, they used to bring with the son Ner Shava, Mukze. That's chinuch. You bring him to shul the first time, you bring a mukze in his hand. So, what exactly is the source for that? And they said, "Chen bo isur tiltul, kevan she'me'erav Shabbat chashvu l'avi ha'shava, haim l'avi ha'shava haim, u'machshava materet l'taltel davar ha'mukze, ma'id ha'chariot shel dekel." So they had a thought to be materet because you had in mind before Shabbat to bring it to shul. That by itself makes it fine to bring it to shul, and like it's not mukze anymore, it's like chariot shel dekel. So he said, Li, the Bet Yosef basically disagree. Veli en anidon dome l'raya, deshani atam shen goyim lishtamesh bahem b'shabbat, mashen ken b'ner shel shavah. So he said, it's a very pashut chilok. I mean, in chariot shel dekel, you're doing a ma'aser that it's appropriate to do in Shabbat. So when you prepare them, or you had in mind to do it on Shabbat, it makes it like a kli, it makes it like a valid, it's a valid machshava. But if you have in mind to do nothing with a muktzeh, so why would that be matir? So the Magen Avraham also in Sif Katan Yudchet brings this Rashbash, and he basically writes before that the reason maybe some people thought that it's mutter to be metaltel this candle. It's because we have the rule of ptila. Ptila is considered kli, weak. Is considered kli, so that's caused the confusion that people thought that since it's considered kli, so it's mutar letaltal. But it's not true because it's mutar only letzor gufom komo, and this is not considered gufom komo. I have to say that I had in mind a yishuv for the Rashbash, and it depends on like something that we're going to see in the future. We don't need to speak about it a lot, but there is a machloket at the end of the siman between the Shulchan Aruch and the Rama about kadur, a ball, if yichud for game is considered yichud. It is one of the explanation in the achronim. It's not, we're going to discuss that in length, but assuming this is the machloket, is yichud for game or something that it's not a mice, it's just for fun, is that enough to give Shem Kli? Or so it might be that it has the same argument here, because the Bet Yosef basically said, what are you talking about? This is not, you could have thought maybe bringing it to shul, respect shul, giving a present to shul, that by itself is something that is considered a mice to do on Shabbat, and that would consider the candle to be not mukze like chariot. That's probably what was in the mind of the Rashbash, but it still seems to be that the Rama, that for a ball hold that it's enough to consider a kli, would disagree with the Rashbash also, and it has to be that there are levels of yichud, and this is the lowest level of yichud. The fact that you just decided to bring it to shul, why do you bring it to shul? Because they want the shul to get to light it at the end. So it's basically, it's nice that you're doing something on Shabbat, but it's not a good reason to change the status of the candle. It's like an external.
It's still not a shemesh.
Right. It's not in and of itself. Yeah. It's just for. So even the Gemara that for a boss, says it's fine. For the Rashbash, he would disagree. And but at least there is like havamina. There is like a little bit of explanation. Otherwise, the Rashbash is like completely not. Okay, that's like a ha'ara on Seif Kaf Gimel. Now let's go to Seif Kaf Daled. Seif Kaf Daled, פשטן סרוק וצמר מנופץ שנותנים על גבי המכה. אם חשב עליהם בעוד יום לתיתן על המכה, או שישב בהם, או שצבעם בשמן. So we have these type of raw linen or wool, not woven yet. If you had in mind to use them on Shabbat, the Shulchan Aruch writes two ways to be matir, or to have in mind to put it on the makkah, or that you basically use them before Shabbat, even if you didn't like really had in mind to use it on Shabbat. And the third one, oshetzvan b'shemen. So if we're going to go to the Bet Yosef, we're going to see the discussion that you have in the Rishonim, because it's basically a braita in the Gemara, in Daf Nun. And the Braita, in the beginning, seems to say, when are you allowed to use the Pikurin v'tzifa? Bezman she'tzvan b'shemen v'kachan v'meshicha. V'ekshe Aran, I'm skipping a little bit. It's still page number one, it's on the bottom, it's the Bet Yosef. V'ekshe Aran, איך אמרנו דבחריות מעני חשב? התנן יוצאים בפיקורין ובציפה בזמן שצבען בשמן וקרחן במשיכה. ואילו מחשבה לא מהניה. We hold by חריות that it's enough that you have in mind to use it on Shabbat. And how would that fit with the fact that by פיקורין וציפה it seems to say that you need to do an action, צבען בשמן, you need to pour oil on it, smear oil on it, whatever it is. ותראה צרב רבי יונה, דעת המשום דלא מוכח המילת, אדם יחדן למכתו, ומחזיק המוציא בשבת, אבל יצא ממאוד יום מוכח המילת. רבנו יונה have an interesting concept. He says, you know what, you write that for the purpose of mukta, it would have been enough just to have in mind to use it on Shabbat. The reason that the braita requires you more than that is because a different problem, a problem of michzik masui. So when you did an action, that solves the problem of hotza mirshut lirshut. But in a chinami, if you're going to ask me about shayla of mukze, if it's mutar betiltul or not, it's true that if you had in mind to use it, you could use it in the house. But don't carry it, don't move to rishut arabim. Aval arosh katav, and then the second opinion here, aval arosh katav ezeh lashono, v'yesh lomar da'adek amar v'tzva'an, lo kedeh latzet bahem b'shabbat, ela kedeh latzet bahem ba'od yom, ואחר כך נמלח ולא יצא בהן, אפילו אחי יכול לצאת בהן בשבת. וראש says, what it says here, צבען בשמן, it's not that you pour the oil with לשם ייחוד, that you're going to use it in Shabbat. And then you need to do an action to use it on Shabbat. צבען בשמן just mean that even if you didn't have in mind to use it in Shabbat, the fact that you put oil on it before Shabbat, and you had in mind to use it, even if you didn't have in mind Shabbat at all, that is enough. So it's less than machshava. It's just like you wanted to use the erev Shabbat for the purpose of using it. You just took away the shem muktzeh mechamat gufo and you made it like something that's bar shimush. It's something that you're going to use. So ahach machshava, that's what you conclude. Ahach machshava, the last line, he says, this type of action is less than machshava to use it on Shabbat. And now the Shulchan Aruch and Seif Kaf Daled, like we just read, he basically hold like the Rosh, because he writes chashav alayim ibod yom, or sheyashav bahem shah achat, or shetzvan b'shemen degali da'ated el makah kaimi, right? So it seems like he holds like lemaise that everything is okay, even machshava, even yeshiva without having in mind to use it on Shabbat, just the action itself. And then he writes in the name of the Yeshomrim, v'yeshomrim delo sagi b'machshava lechud. So if he meant to say, to bring in the Yeshomrim here, the opinion of Rabbeinu Yonah, he should have said v'yeshomrim דלא סגי במחשבה לחוד, in order to be יוצא outside. That's not what he said. He says, "V'yesh omrim de lo sagi v'machshava lechud," and if you're not going to do a machshava, it's still going to be mukze, right? So that's the question that the Magen Avraham asked on the Yesh Omrim, the Shulchan Aruch. He said, "I don't understand what the Shulchan Aruch is writing. He didn't write correct the Rabbeinu Yonah. Rabbeinu Yonah says that the need of action is for the purpose of hotzah mirshut lerushut. So he should have write V'yesh omrim shebishvil hotzi mirshut lerushut tzarich la'asot ma'aseh lo maspik machshava." He didn't say that. So the Mishnah Berurah also write that Magen Avraham was questioning, and the Eliyahu Rabbah who said the Tirut. So the Eliyahu Rabbah, I've told you the secret, the Eliyahu Rabbah says that there is an opinion that says that Pikurin Vetzifa is different than Chariot. Chariot, we just learned in the previous show that it's like an item that could be used for this and could be used for this. It's something that it's like equal. People use it for yeshiva, people use it for to burn it. So machshava is enough. We don't have a high requirement of dedication and but stuff that it's completely out of the, it's not normal to be miyached for a certain action, we would require a higher level of yichud. And that's what the Rashba basically hold for avanim and basically pikurin v'tzifa also. If you compare pikurin v'tzifa, the raw wool, to a rock or a piece of stone that normally would not crack nuts with them, so you need a maise. And that's the Yesh Omrim. Then it fits nicely. The Yesh Omrim, de lo sagi v'machshava lechud, it's basically referring to the couple of seifim before that we just read. It's a seif kof bet. Ayan sham, basically, that some people disagree with that. So he didn't mean to say Rabbeinu Yonah. He just meant to say, look before and see that some poskim require a higher level of yichud for items that are not normally being used for this purpose. Fine? Okay, let's go to Seif Kafhei. Seif Kafhei, it's the Gemara in Shabbat in Daf Mem Tet. We have a Mishnah that sounds like leather and skin. Animal skin is not mukze. Tomnim b'shlachin u'metaltelim otam. If you read the Mishnah, it sounds like it's not a mukze. And the Gemara said, conclude, mistabra shel ba'al habayit nan, aval shelumen kapid alayu. So the Gemara differentiate between if it's like a person who sells them, so we have an asvara maybe to say that he's makpid. And then the Gemara said, Rabbi Shmuel b'Rabbi Yossi said, even if you sell it, you're not makpid. But anyway, if you read this Gemara, it sounds like a normal leather is not mukta. And then Tosfot points out that Gemara in Betza, look in page number 3, Tosfot, the Gemara in Betza Daf Yud Alef writes, Notnin et ha'or lifnei ha'dorsan, etiru sofan mishum tchilatan. The Gemara said that if you shecht an animal in Yom Tov, we're not going to tell you you can't take care of the skin because it's mukta. No, you could shech the animal, you peel the skin off, and you can put it on the floor, so people are going to step on it, and stepping on it helps the skin to get... it's starting the process of making it usable. And the reason is, if you're not going to matir that, people are going to be mevatel mitzvat simchat yom tov, they're not going to shech. But if you just like read this Gemara, it sounds like, if you ask me what's the din about... skin or leather, raw leather, but you have a better word for it, it's mukze. So how would we, what's the word?
Hide? Yeah.
Like same hiding?
Word. Same word.
Uh-huh. The meat is hiding behind it? Okay, so...
That's probably right.
So, we have two opinions in the Rishonim. Rashi in Kol Kitvei differentiate between Be'ema Gasa and Be'ema Daka. Be'ema Gasa is thick, it's big, makes sense that you're going to lean on it, so it's not mukze. Or Be'ema Daka, it's not so convenient to lean on it, so it's mukze, unless you're miyachedet. And based on that, the Gemara in Beitza discuss Be'ema Daka, and Rabbeinu Tam is mechalek between dry and wet. If it, when it's when you shech the animal, it's still wet. It still has the or the mucus or the blood or whatever. It's like still wet. The skin itself, even if you clean it, it's still like not processed. It's so in this case, when it's still freshly out of the animal, then it's not. It's not the. People would not use it to sit on it, so it's mukze. And if it's dry, then people would normally use it to lean on it, so it's not mukze. And if you read the Shulchan Aruch, write bestam orot yevashim ben shel uman ben shel ba'al habayit mutar leteltelam. So he paskin clearly like Rabbeinu Tam that the chiluk is between yevesh and lach. And the Gemara bring Rashi. Although the Gemara bring Rashi, he doesn't hold, or I don't know if he doesn't hold, but the Maaseh, the Mishnah Berurah says that people could follow the Shulchan Aruch opinion because that's the main opinion that most Rishonim like agree with. So that's the halacha. So now let's move to Sifim Kaf Zayin, Kafchet and Kaftet. These are the Sifim that there is a lot to speak about, and it's a lot of the Maaseh stuff. It's a little bit complicated. Hopefully I'm not going to make it too complicated. And I will try to go through the basics of it, and then if we'll have time, we'll try to add another layer of complex to it. Okay. The topic is basically shells, peels. What is the level of the yut? How edible should they be in order to be able to be metal to them? And are there more leniency when it's on the table? And we're going to touch other topics of tiltul minatzah, tiltul agav, something else. And that's where it gets a little bit complicated. So we have in the Mishnah in Shabbat, in Kuf Gimel Amud Aleph, and page number 3 on the bottom, Bet Shammai Omrim, Ma'avirin Me'al HaShulchan Atzamot VeKlipin. Ubet Hillel Omrim, Mesalek Et HaTavla Kula U'Menaava. So, Lemaaseh, we switch here, that Ben Shammai and Bet Hillel is not, it's the opposite. But the first opinion here says that if you have shells or peels or bones on the table, you could touch the bones themselves and move them from the table. And the second opinion says, no, you can't touch them. You could take the tavla, the piece of wood on the table or whatever, tablecloth, and then shake it. But you can't touch the shells or the bones. So now what type of bones are we talking about? What type of shells? So if you read Rashi writes, Atzamot, the second dibur hamatchil, kashin she'enam ruim lakelev. So Rashi is mechadesh a tremendous chiddush here. Rashi says, this opinion holds that even if the shells are completely unedible, it's mamish, like should be muktzeh mechamat gufo, you're allowed to move it from the table without using anything else, just with your fingers. Those would scream and they say, what are you talking about? It's mamash toy bedvar mishnah. Tosfot, I'm reading Tosfot, atzamot veklipin, lo kepegush akuntos de peresh afilu kashim ve'en ruim lachilat klavim, dehai tana amrinan bagmara, deki Rabbi Shimon svir ale. Ve'Rabbi Shimon ba'e lechol apachot, ro'i lemachal be'ema, dektani ma'avirin ma'al ha'shulchan, perurin mipnei shuv ma'achal be'ema, mukminan bagmara chvate. So the continuation of the Mishnah says meforash that when you allow to take perurin, the reason is because it's edible for an animal. So Rabbi Shimon requires that the shells or the psoleh that you have on the table, in order to touch it with your fingers, it needs to be ra'i l'machal be'ma. So how in the world Rashi can explain that Rabbi Shimon Tanakama here would allow you to touch even if it's completely not ra'i l'machal kelev? In parentheses, the Shilta Giborim says that he thinks that the reason that people have a minhag to move the shells from the table is because they rely on Rashi. he melamed zchut on them. But lemaise, all the Rishonim disagree with Rashi. So everyone agrees that the atzamot veklipin, that beside Rashi, everyone agrees that the atzamot veklipin that we're talking about is atzamot veklipin shiroim lemachal bema. If it's roi lemachal bema, you can touch it with your fingers, with your hands, and move it. If it's not roi lemachal bema, then you have to apply the second opinion in the Mishnah, that's Bet Shomai, that's Oser, so for us it's like Bet Shomai. If it's klipot, that it's not roi lemachal bema, then you need to move it in a different way. So you're going to use the other approach to move the tavla, and we're going to discuss that. Now, at the end of this Gemara, there is another story, and we're going to discuss that in next year, B'zot Hashem. Shmuel Metaltelu Agav Rifta. I don't know if you continue in the Gemara to read that case also, but there is a case at the end of the Gemara that Garinet Tamara, the seeds of the dates, it's a debate in the Gemara if it's mukzeh or not, if it's edible to an animal or not, it's a debate in the Rishonim if it's mukzeh or not. But the one concept that appears to be in the Gemara, that there is a way to be metaltel these type of seeds or pits, what's the right term for date pits? So to be metaltel agav rifta. Agav rifta sounds like you put bread, a piece of bread, and you put the pits on top of it, and then you can move it. So how exactly does that fit into this whole system? We're going to see soon. Let's skip a little bit to the Bet Yosef, page number 9. We're going to go back if we'll have more time, but I want to first cover the basics. Page number 9, the second paragraph. The first paragraph of the Bet Yosef, he just brings the Machloket Rashi Tosfot that we just mentioned, if Atzamot Veklipin is Roi Lemachal Bema, not Roi Lemachal Bema. And he says that all the Rishonim says it should be Roi Lemachal Bema in order to touch it directly. And then in Kavzayin Bet, the second part of Sif Kavzayin, he brings the concept of what should I do when the peels are not roi lemachal bema? So the tool writes that you can move the tavla, you can take the tablecloth or the wood on the table and shake it somewhere else. So what exactly is the heter here? V'katav ha-rosh b'tshuva, klal kav bet, שהטעם שמגביעים שולחן ומפה עם עצמות וקליפין, אפילו קליפי אגוזים שאינן רואים למאכל בהמה, מפני שהם בטלים אגב הפת. ומשמע מדבריו שמותר להגביע השולחן ולטלטלו עם קליפי האגוזים שעליו, אבל לא נראה כן מדברי סמג, שכתב, אבל דברים שאינם רואים למאכל בהמה, אסור להגביעם, אלא לנער השולחן או המפה כמו מעות שעל הקר ואין נופלות. משמע דלהגביע או לטלטלה כמות שהיא אסור, ולא שרי אלא לנער לבד דומיה דמעות שעל הקר. ומי הוא אם הוא צריך למקום השולחן, לכול העלמה מותר להגביע כמות שהוא, דמעות שעל הקר נמי שרי כאי גבנה, כמו שהתבאר בסימן שינטל. So the Bet Yosef seems to hold that there is a מחלוקת here between the Rosh and the Smug. And before I'm going to explain it, I'm just going to give you the introduction that he assumed that all of us know. The halacha says that if you have, let's say, ma'ot al gabe akar, coins on top of a pillow, or if you have a stone or rock on top of chavit, so if you need the space that the chavit is on, then you could pick up the chavit or the pillow and move it to somewhere else with the mukta on top of it. But if you don't need the space, you just need the pillow itself, then you should shake the pillow and let the mukta go off. So here it seems like the smug compare the psolet on top of the table to the pillow with the coins. He said, if you just need to use the tavla, just shake it here. If you need the space, you could move all the tavla out. Compare them, they're equal. So, but according to the smug,
if you don't need to use the space underneath, you're not allowed to pick up the tavla and go somewhere else. Okay? The Rosh, Lechora, disagree with that. The Rosh says, you're allowed to move the tavla wherever you want.
And it seems
to say, "Mipneshev betelim agav apat." So, what exactly does he say? Because does he require a pot to be there? He needs pot. He assumed that there is bread that it's edible with the klipim that are not edible completely, and the klipim are betelim towards the pot, and since they're betelim towards the pot, so then I can move everything because they're not exist. That's why it's not comparable to the case of coins. Right? So he seems to, in the beginning, he seems to understand that they completely disagree. And then the Bet Yosef offer ve'efshar de'lo pligi. Maybe there is no argument. Ela samag mayri sefer mitzvot gadol mayri k'she'en b'shulchan ela klipei eguzim v'atzamot she'en ragmei le'machal be'ma. משומח אסור להגביה ולטלטלה כמות שהיא. והראש מאירי כשיש בשולחן פת, משומח ישר לטלטל קליפי אגוזים ועצמות שאינם רואים לכלבים אגב הפת. He said, maybe they're not disagreeing. They just, each one of them discuss a different case. Even the smug is going to be moided to the concept of batile לגבי פת. If there is pot on the table, if there is bread, then for sure the bread is more important. So all the clipping consider like they're not exist. So then you can move everything. But if there is no pot, the Rosh is going to agree with the smug that only if you need the makom, then you can move the whole tavla. But if you don't need the space, then you need to shake it on the spot. The Magen Avraham, before Magen Avraham, the Shulchan Aruch, if you read the Shulchan Aruch, the Shulchan Aruch seems to hold that like his terutz. The way that he explained the stira or the disagreement that he saw between the smug and the rosh and his yeshuv, he seems to be passing like this la'alacha. He says, "Atzamot." I'm reading the Shulchan Aruch in Sif Kaf Zayin. You have it in page number 10 on top. "Atzamot shurim leklavim, veklipim shurim lemachal beema, veperurim shein bahem kazait." This type of klipot, it's completely fine. You can touch it directly. Mutar la'aviram al shulchan because it's edible. אבל אם אין הקליפים רואים למאכל בהמה, אסור לטלטלם, you're not allowed to touch it because it's מוקצה, אלא מנער את הטבלה והם נופלים. You should shake it on the spot. You can't pick the טבלה and go somewhere else. ואם יש פת על השולחן, מותר להגביע הטבלה ולטלטלה עם הקליפים שאינם מאכל בהמה, שהם בטלים אגב הפת. So he bring basically the חידוש of the Rosh, that if you have pot with the klipin that are not edible, the klipin are battled towards the pot. ואם היה צריך למקום השולחן, if you have a need to use the space, so now you have the concept of צריך למקומו. In this case, you, even if you don't have pot, it's like a pillow with coins on top, that if you need the space, so you can move both of them to somewhere else. Okay? Now that's לכאורה פשוט, that's how he passed in להלך. The Magen Avraham is a little questioning a little bit the concept. He's not questioning, he's just like explaining a little bit more in depth. What's the chidush in the Rosh? He said, normally when we have basis ledavar ha'asur ve'amutar, we're going to see that Bezrat Hashem in the future, you have a kli that has Mukze and Heter inside. So if you could throw everything out and you just need the kli basically, you don't need the content, you don't need what's inside, so you need to throw both of them out and then take the kli. But if you need the space, then you could take both of them to wherever you need. So he's basically saying the Rosh was Mechadesh, that although normally when you have basis ledavar ha'asur ve'amutar, you can do whatever you want here because you have pot and everything
it's battle towards the pot, not everything. Klipot, that doesn't have any chashivut, ar betelot klape pot. But if you have bread and you have a $100 bill, nobody is going to say that the $100 bill is battle towards the pot. That's what the Magen Avraham said. Although we hold normally that if you have basis davar asur v'amutar, you're not allowed to do that. שאני הנה שהם בטלים לגבי פת, אבל כל מידי זה לא בטל לגבי פת, ולא אבל לתורת כלי, אין מטלטלין אגב פת. And he says, the חידוש that he adds on this, he says, ומשמע מזה, דמותר להניח אצלם כיכר או תינוק, דום ידמת. The חידוש of the Rosh is not only that the קליפות are battled towards the pot, the Rosh also hold that you could create that situation. The Rosh hold that לא אמרו כיכר או תינוק, אלא למת, it's true, only for something that it's not, I'm going to explain it. He said it's mashma in his lashon, that it's not only that it's battled towards the path, you could even create the situation. Now, why did the Rosh say that?
Maybe put the bread on.
If you, let's say you finish the meal now, and you see that your plastic disposable tablecloth is full of clipping that are not edible. You could take a piece of bread, put it on it, and then you can pick up everything and throw it to the garbage.
Here it wasn't muksa during Ben Hashmashos.
In what case?
So you have the clipot weren't there from Arab Shabbos.
No, I'm talking after lunch in Shabbat. Right. The clipot were there only on Shabbat.
So, okay.
Is there clip they were attached? They were attached to the food before, and they've been holding a clip to the nut, let's say, that he ate the nut on Shabbos?
So we hold it, and we're going to see that soon. You're touching another point that Darke Moshe is trying to be mechalek between when the klipot were separated. And if we're not going to have time to go through everything, I'm just going to tell you that most poskim hold that klipot are considered mukta even if they've been separated on Shabbat itself. And it's the Chora Mefurash in the Gemara in Kuf Mem Gimel that we're going to see after. Exactly. They're mukta to begin with. The reason that you're allowed to use it is because they were attached, they were battled towards the fruit. But you basically got me to the conclusion that I wanted to discuss in length more, but I don't know if I'm going to have time. But yes, when we discuss klipin, even if it's being separated on Shabbat itself, it's becoming mukta. Although Ben Hashmashot, you could have used it, it was attached to the fruit. It was part of the fruit, now it's not. And it was never edible, right? Ben Hashmashot, it was not edible also. It was just mutar betiltul because it was attached to the fruit. And it's an interesting concept. Your question is a good question, and we'll see. If I have more time to discuss, I will. But let's say, just summarize what we see now. The Magen Avraham says that he seems to hold in the Rosh that it's not only that you could move the tavla. If you have bread, you could even put bread on the tavla. And then he said, but in Perik Bet Yom Tov, in the Psakim of the Rosh, in Betzah, it sounds like only if the bread was there before, then you could do that, but you're not allowed to create the situation. So Lamai says, Tzarich Yun in the Rosh, if you could create the situation or not.
Is that the idea of the Mechabor in the table?
That's the idea of
always keeping the chalbor on the table.
It might be the same. Not always the chalbor have a challah on it, but could say it's a basis davar asur v'mutar anyway. But you're not going to pick the tablecloth with the chalbor in it. So you need to have like food with the psalot that you're at the end of the Magen Avraham, he brings the shita of the Ramban and the Milchamot, okay, let's finish this seif now with what we just said. We'll just summarize it. We're going to go to seif the next seif, and if we're going to have time, we're going to explain a little bit more on the Rosh, because I have a whole mahalach in the Rosh. But let's just summarize what we got for now. We got for now that the Shulchan Aruch is mechalek between when you have bread on the tablecloth with the psolet, then you could move with no debate if you need the makom or not need the, if you don't need the makom. And if you don't have bread on the table, then only b'tzarich lemkoma. And it's a little bit of a chumrah, because based on that, if you have on the tablecloth only psolet that it's not roi l'achilat behema, you need to do something else. You can't just take it unless you need mekoma. So you should pretend that you need mekoma, should serve dessert there or whatever, you need to clean it, so do something to use mekoma. Magen Avraham is mesupak if you could create the bitul of the rosh lechatchila, if you could put bread when it's not there. It's better to have bread on the table all the time. Normally we have peruim, we have pieces of bread, so normally we're safe. That's the conclusion of the Shulchan Aruch based on his chiluk in the Rishayim. Now, what is the requirement of machal be'ema? What type of animal is enough to consider the animal that it's like common and it's not mukta? That's Seif Kaftet. We have in the Mishnah in Shabbat in Kuf Kaf Vav Amud Bet, page 11. The Mishnah says that you're allowed to move the turmus, mipnei shehu ma'achal le'ezim, avo lo et ha'tevel, velo et ha'luf, velo et ha'chardal. So if you read in the Mishnah, luf and chardal, luf, I don't know how to translate, chardal is mustard, what is luf, I don't know. Rabban Shimon Gamliel matir beluf, mipnei shehu ma'achal le'orvim. Rabban Shimon Gamliel have an interesting kula. He says you're allowed to move luf because Orev, who did it? And the Gemara, we have another Braita, Metaltelin et ha-chatzav, mipnei shehu ma'achal le'tzvaim. Tzvi would eat chatzav, ve'et ha-chardal, mipnei shehu ma'achal le'yonim. So this is disagreeing with the Mishnah, right? Because chardal in the Mishnah, it's asur. Ve'lo et ha-chardal. And we have here Tana Kama that says chardal is mutter. Rabbi Shimon Gamliel omer, af metaltelim shifrei zchuchim, mipnei shehu ma'achal le'na'amiyot. So Rabbi Shimon Gamliel seems consist. He holds that all the time, even if you have a hypothetical animal, exotic animal that would eat this type of shell or something that's completely not edible, you could move it. And the Gemara basically wrap this opinion of Rashbag with other Tanaim that hold Kol Yisrael Bnei Melachim, that hypothetically all of Am Yisrael should deserve to have like fancy animals in their house, and they go by the hypothetical world. Meaning, since hypothetically there is an animal that could eat it, it's fine. I don't need it to be actually matsui. Since you're a Jew, you deserve to be like a king, you deserve to have all of these animals. Now, Tana Kama seems to contradict a little bit, because Tana Kama of Rashbag in the Braita seems to be contradicting the Tana Kama in the Mishnah. So what exactly going on here, and how do we hold the halacha? We don't hold like Rashbag, because Rashbag, whenever the rule is that whenever the Gemara is wrapping like kulu svira lehu, all of these tanaim kulu svira lehu, that's like basically put it in the closet. We don't hold like them. All of these amoraim that hold kol Yisrael bnei melachim, it's like we don't hold like this halacha. Put it on the side. We don't hold like them. So we don't hold like Rashbag. We don't. It's nice to think that we're bnei melachim, but it's not gonna make us able to use like pieces of glass on Shabbat. The question is just, what is Tana Kama hold? So there's a couple of opinion in the Rishonim, but lemaise what matter lahalacha is what the Bet Yosef bring in the name of the Rav Magid and like the Ran. The Bet Yosef basically asks the question. Look in page 14. Sorry, not 14. Is this, Bet Yosef is in page 15 about at the bottom of page 15. Umashma de Tanakama de Braita b'shitat Rashbag Amara umishumach ishar chatzav v'chardal. He's debating what is the Tana Kama hold, and since we hold like Rashbag is not halacha,
And then Vishav Aran, I'm skipping to the next paragraph on page 16. Vishav Aran Datam, the Mashma de Svira Leu, the Tana de Matnitin, the Tana de Brighter Lo Pligia Dade, La Markiatre, Markiatre, Batre de Tana de Brighter, Ugilim Legadelionim, Batre de Tana de Matnitin, La Ugilim Ban. Avalekul Alma and Metaltelin, La Masha Rawila Behmachera Baofa Metsuim et Selbne Adam. So the conclusion of the Ran, and that's basically the way that the Shulchan Aruch is Sotem La'alacha, is that we differentiate between. There is no real difference between Tanakama and the Mishnah and Tanakama and the Braita. They both hold that you need to have animals, matsui, in your area. It's just like a temporary thing that the Tana of the Mishnah didn't have people who raised like doves, so it wasn't matsui, so he said it's osur. And the Tanakama of the Braita had it, so, and that's how the Rambam paskin halacha, and that's how we hold halacha. That is all depends in the reality. If you have doves available, if you have dogs available, that's fine. You don't need to have it in your house. You just need to have it available. That's how the Shulchan Aruch is paskin halacha. Now, you can go to Maigiv, because it's 10 o'clock, and you can stay if you want a little bit more explanation about the Magen Avraham and the din of Erev Shabbat and Shabbat. The first archava, the first like more explanation that I wanted to give is like has to do with the question about Erev Shabbat and Shabbat, and then we're going to discuss the Magen Avraham a little bit more. Look in page 13 in the Bet Yosef. The Bet Yosef writes, it's on the Mishnah in Kuf Mem Gimel. We said that the Mishnah in Kuf Mem Gimel says that Atzamot veKlipin, if it's Ra'ui Lema'achal Be'ema, you're allowed to move it. It's not Mukta. So the Ran writes on this Gemara, you see in the Bet Yosef on the bottom, Af al pi shenitparku ha'atzamot me'abasar ve'aklipin me'aperot be'shabbat. Aval im nitparku me'erev shabbat, afilu Rabbi Shimon modeh. So this is like, what are you talking about? Even though it was mitparek be'shabbat, it's mutter. But if it's me'erev shabbat, even Rabbi Shimon, we're talking about Rabbi Shimon. So that's what the Bet Yosef is like. When you dam a benzel and nevela she nitlabna be'erev Shabbat, afilu Rabbi Yehuda shari. Rabbi Yehuda is matir nevela she nitlabna be'erev Shabbat. If the animal was mitnabelet on Shabbat, then Rabbi Yehuda said it's mukzeh. It wasn't ready in erev Shabbat. Rabbi Shimon is matir even that. So the Ran should have said afilu Rabbi Yehuda mode. Even Rabbi Yehuda is okay if the nevela got dead. Erev Shabbos become Nevela Erev Shabbat, even Rabbi Yehuda is Matir, but Rabbi Shimon even Shabbat itself. So that's what the Bet Yosef says. Darke Moshe writes something like very fascinating. He says, ואיני יודע מה קשה לו, דוודאי אין מטלטלין עצמו שנתפרקו מן הבשר מערב שבת, אם לא שיש לו כלבים, כמו שאין מטלטלין אלוף, אלא אם כן יש לו עורבים. וכן נבלה שנתלמלה מערב שבת לא שרי רבי יהודה, אלא לחותך לפני הכלבים. לכן דברי הר"ן נכונים, דווקא עצמות שנתפרקו מן הבשר בשבת, מותר להעבירה מהשולחן הועיל ועדיין רואים לכלבים, אף על פי שאין לו כלבים. אבל שאר עצמות אסור לטלטלן ופשוט הוא בעיניי. ונראה לי דדעת בית יוסף לטעמד, כתב למטה בשם הר"ן, דסביר הלאודים עורבים מצויים אף על פי שאין לו שרי לטלטולה. ואם כן עצמות הרואים לכלבים נמי, אבל רבים חולקים בזה כמו שיכתוב למטה. דרכי מוישה assume something that nobody says, and he hold that there is many people who hold like him, and the Mama Mordechai said that nobody said that, but that's what he said, and he's probably had maybe other sources. He says, you know what? The Mishnah that says שנתפרקו בשבת, what the Ran says נתפרקו בשבת, he wants to tell you like chiddush. The argument of you need klavim or not, he understood that you need to have klavim in your house. It's not enough that you your neighbor have. So he said, if you have klavim, so be'erev Shabbat, it's easier for Rabbi Shimon, because you have dogs in your house, So if the shells were off the fruit Erev Shabbat, so and you have klavim, so it's ben hashmashot, it's ready for klavim. The chiddush of the Ran is coming to say that all the machloket of nitparku ra'u leklavim is when you have klavim in your house, so then it's easier when it's Erev Shabbat. But if you don't have klavim, so then you go by migodit katzai. That's what the svara that you wanted to say, that since ben hashmashot it was ra'u leachila, so it's still considered ra'u leachila even though I don't have klavim. So that's a bigger chiddush. I don't have klavim in my house, so it should be us, right? Because I don't have klavim. He held that you need to have dogs in your house. It's not enough that your neighbor has. So I don't have klavim. Ben hashmashot, it was attached to the fruit, and it's still ra'u le'achila, ma'achal be'ema. Ra'u le'ma'achal be'ema, the darkei moshe hold, basically, that peels function like shivrei kelim. The whole sugya that we learned in the beginning of the siman, you have a kli, ben hashmashot, it broke. Oseh me'en melacha, lo oseh me'en melacha, it keeps the name of the kli. So he applied the same concept to shells. And he said, ben hashmashot, it was a fruit. Now, it's still ra'u le'ma'achal kelev. I don't have dogs, but it was ra'u le'ma'achal be'ben hashmashot, le'ma'achal adam. It keeps the shem ma'achal because it ra'u le'achilat kelev, although I don't have a dog. That's what the Darkei Moshe says. And nobody agree with him, but that's what he says. So I was debating if why wouldn't we really match the two dinim of Shivrei Kelim and Klipot? Why isn't that true for us? And we should have said the same thing based on what he said. If it's true what he says, so for us that we hold that Ra'u is enough, we don't require you to have a dog in your house. It's enough for us that you have that you never have a dog. So let's use his logic and say it for us. When it's ra'ui, should go one level down. So if it was ra'ui le'ma'achal be'ben hashmashot, my neighbor have a dog, so for me it's good, even if it's going to happen in Shabbat itself. But if I have a glass that broke, it's ra'ui le'ma'achal ye'enim. So would we say the same chiluk that he says for his opinion to the other opinion? The whole machloket of ra'ui, that I need other people to have a dog, is ben hashmashot. It's before Shabbat, that my neighbor have a dog is enough. But in Shabbat itself, it was ra'ui ben hashmashot. My glass was whole ben hashmashot, now it broke. But ye'anim could eat it, and I don't need to have ye'anim, and I don't need my neighbor to have ye'anim, because hypothetically, it could have been eaten by ye'anim, and ben hashmashot, it was a kli. Why wouldn't it help? If we apply the same logic that he says, for the rishonim that he holds, that there are rishonim like that.
So you want to say that even if a glass breaks or something?
Yeah, I'm saying if he's...
That's a different, in other words, here, at least it's the same by the Darkei Moshe. At least it's food, so okay. It's
food. Ye'anim. Well, ye'anim would eat it.
Right, but the same before, but when it was glass, it wasn't food, it wasn't edible, it was a kli.
It was a kli.
So you...
It wasn't muktzeh. Are you saying it's not ke'en
melacha? Yeah, it's not ke'en melacha because it's changing from being a kli.
Okay,
to
so yeah, I'm going to ask you for Klipot that was part of food and now exotic animal gonna eat it. Would you say that?
Yeah, that would probably work.
Would should work.
Yeah.
So I think it shouldn't, and I think the that's the machloket between the Darkei Moshe and the Adar Rishonim, because the Adar Rishonim understood, like I told you in the beginning, that klipin is completely different story than shivrei kelim. Klipin doesn't keep the name of the fruit. Klipin are garbage to begin with. The reason it's mutar to be metalta them is because they were battled towards the food, like the rosh svara with the bread. It's attached, so you can't separate them. It's not mukta now because it's attached to the food. But automatically, when it's like separated, it goes back to what it is. We saw that back in the beginning when we saw like the posting that discussed like when you open a chips bag and it's not a kli. So it's not a kli. So when you finish the content, that's it. You should, if you put it down, it's a muktzeh. There's no use. Unless you're going to say that you cover with something and it's roi. But I'm just saying, it's like saying, look, some poskim hold in Siman Resh Samech Vav that if you forgot coins in your pocket, Erev Shabbat ben Hashmashot, you could still walk. Because it's not considered tiltul. It's in your pocket, it's tuffled to your baggage. You can walk wherever you want and then you can shake it. Okay, so let's say, oh, ben hashmashot, I could have walked with my pants with the money inside. So this money is no mukta anymore. So even if it's going to come out of my bag, of my pocket, it's not mukta because ben hashmashot, I could have walked. It doesn't make sense. The reason I could have moved it, ben hashmashot, was it was because it was tofel. It was in a place that it wasn't considered tiltu. That's why I can peel the fruit, because it was tofel to the fruit. But when it comes out of me, it goes back to what it is. It doesn't change the status of the item. Unlike Shivrei Kelim, it's part of the Kli. It is the Kli. So you could say it keeps the name of the Kli. But shells, they were never a pistachio shell. It's not edible. What can I do? I'm sorry. That's not food. The reason I can do it is because it's part of the food. So it's, as long as it's part of the food, I can touch it. When it's like separate from the food, it goes back to what it is. So that's lichora a tremendous machloket, how to understand the concept of klipin. And lemaiste, we don't hold like the Darkei Moshe because everyone disagree with them. So it seems like most poskim hold like the other approach, that klipin are different than shivrei kelim. That's regarding to pills and shells. Do you want more? Or you want to go to sleep?
Sure.
I mean, I will try to summarize it a little bit to get to the point. We mentioned the Rosh, that the Bet Yosef and the Magen Avraham seems to hold that he discussing the concept of bitur, that the, when you have bread, it's bottled towards the, when you have klipin and bread, the klipin are bottled towards the bread. Now, I have to mention that if you look in the Rishonim and the Sugya and Kuf Mem Gimel, it's clear that there are maybe three opinions there, but one opinion there is to be mechalek between coins and garinim. Just for instance, page number 6, look in the first source is the Rashba. So in page number 6, on the bottom of the first source, Ve'arayvetzal, do you see that? Ve'arayvetzal? והרייבד זל אמר, דהתם, אף על פי שלא ייחדה למעות, בטלאי לגבי מעות, דחשיבי. אבל לך הגרעינין בטילי לגבי פת, וקליפין לגבי טבלה. The Rayved said something very, very clear. He said that the comparison between מעות שעל גבי הקר, when you have coins on top of a pillow, and when you have shells, pistachio shells on the tablecloth, it's not comparable. When you have coins on top of the pillow, the coins are very important. So even if you didn't dedicate it to be on top of the pillow, but they are important. So even if it's not going to become basis, but it still have a chashivut. And they're not bottled towards the cup or the pillow. But shells don't have any chashivut. And if this is the case, you could move the tavla, because you're moving the tavla, you're not moving them. And if this is what the Rosh is saying, the Rosh is completely different than what the Bet Yosef understood. It's not because there is pot. Even if there is no pot, it's mutter. If there is pot, it's bottled toward the pot. If there is a chashul tavla, it would be bottled toward the tavla. The lashon of the Rosh, if you look inside the tshuva, I have the Rosh itself. It might be that the Rosh hold. If you, I have the Tshuva to Rosh Kaf Bet. It's page number 7 on the bottom. If you remember the Rosh, it's the same Rosh that we mentioned in the beginning of the Siman. The Rosh said that Meducha Sheyesh Aleha Shum. If you have a grinder, I don't know, how do you call the? It's not a grinder. It's like a
mortar
and pestle.
If you have shum, if you have the garlic smushed inside of it, although it's klish machtor le'isu, you could move it even le'tzorech, even nechama le'tzorech. What's the concept? Because if it's a kli that holds shum, it serves the shum. So it's doing his purpose now. So it's like moving the shum now. I'm not moving the kli, I'm moving the shum because that's the purpose of the kli. The kli is battled towards the shum. So I'm moving the shum now, I'm moving the garlic. Whenever you have a kli that holds something, if it made for it, the kli is battled towards the shum. So
how far does that go though? Every kli is made for what it's holding.
So that's why it's going to be battled towards the... If you have a kli that you put psalat in, the Rosh going to tell you, that's the Rosh in Betzah that the Magen Avraham struggled with. If you put psalat in a kli, then the Rosh said you cannot put bread now in it because the kli was meshamesh the psalat, so it was battled towards the psalat now. So now if you're going to put bread, it's not going to help you. But if the bread was there before, so the bread is the ikal, and now you put psalat on it, then it's good. The Rosh basically hold that if you have the ochel and you put the psalat on top, then you could be able to move the ochel because the psalat is battled towards the ochel. And the tavla might be considered like the ochel. But
the
again,
tavla started with food. It had the food. Then
I'm saying tavla might be even food. Without food. The tavla itself have chashivut. The tavla is not like kli, because the tavla is not meshameshet the klipot. The tavla was meshameshet the whole table. So it's not battled towards the klipot. The tavla is in and of itself. I don't know if a disposable tablecloth is, I can say the same thing, but if you have a chashuv tavla, like they used to put a piece of wood on the table, or a chashuv tablecloth, that it's not made for the klipot. The klipot will battle towards the tavla, or towards the tablecloth. If you read like that in the Rosh, it's miyash of the question of the Magen Avraham also, because the point of the Rosh is that when you have davar chashuv and davar tafel, the davar tafel is battled toward davar chashuv, and if the tiltul is in the davar chashuv, you move the bread, then the psalat on top of it is battled toward the bread. But when you, lo amru kikar v'tinok ela lemet, kikar v'tinok is a trick, because you're carrying a met, a dead body, it's a lot bigger, and you're touching the mukzeh, and you pretend that the mat is battled to the bread. It's not really. That's, you need only el alemet bilvad, only the person you would say that trick. But when you really have a bread and you put a couple of psalat on top of it, it's not a trick. It's really battled toward the bread. That if you read that in the Rosh, you have a completely different pshat in the Rosh, and you're going to be miyash of the Magen Avraham also. But this is a chidush. That's not the way that the Magen Avraham understood. And lemaise, lechatchila, if you have only psalat on the tablecloth, it's better to have some. It's better not to have only psalat on the. And if you have it, you should do something to need the makom. And it's echlim komo, you're safe no matter what. If you have psalat and lechem, or a mixer of chashuv and not chashuv, it's better towards the chashuv and you're good.
I mean, it was Sarah Cohen calling me. You want the table to look nice and Shabbos.
That's right. So I'm saying, like, if you, just to have it clean, it might be okay. But we discussed, like, if it bothers you in the room, we weren't sure, like, how to define that so much. So if you planning to serve something, or if you're planning to learn there, you want to see it, you want to put something there, you want to put the vase there. So fine. Normally, you would find tzarich limkomo easily. I'm just saying that if we didn't understand the Rosh the way that the Bet Yosef understood, we would have had more kulot. And that's for today. Thank you for coming.